Good morning, everybody. Today's the last Monday prayer call that we're going to have. It's set, December 28th for 2015. And I'm excited about today's call. We talked a little bit last week about a focus word for the year. And I always have a year or a word that I focus on for the year, and I ask the Lord to give me that and spend a great deal of time in reflection and planning, especially the week between Christmas and New Year's. Sometimes I get started a little bit early, depending on my schedule. And I've really been seeking the Lord on what my word is, and I believe I have it, and I want you to be thinking about the same thing. What would the Lord want you to have as your focus word for this year? What's he going to be speaking to you about? What are you going to be thinking about? How is you're going to be different? And boil it down to one or two words if you can. And then we're also going to be talking today about giving you a spiritual wellness exam. So I'm going to open in prayer, and then we're going to jump right into our study. Father God, thank you so much for your time. Lord, I thank you that we could come together and that we can lift our prayer requests to you, but we want to lift our praise to you first. We want to just praise and worship and glorify you, Father. We love you and we praise you. We thank you for who you are. Jesus, thank you so much for coming and dying on the cross and being that the Lamb of sacrifice and being resurrected and taking the keys from the enemy, from hell and the grave, Lord, and that you've given us eternal life, and we're looking forward to that. So we ask that you would just help us to focus on what you would have for us today. So, Holy Spirit, I know that you are wisdom and you are comfort. So, Lord, I ask that you would speak through me, that it would not be my words, but it would be your words to your people, and that we would not leave our conversation today, our study time today, our prayer time today, the same as we came. We love you and thank you. We give ourselves 100% surrender to you tonight, right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this time of year, one of the things that I see all the time is everybody starts making New Year's resolutions. And I just call them New Year's revolutions, because what happens is it's a revolving door. To me, it's just like it's all usually the same thing. I want to get healthier. I want to start exercising. I want to lose some weight, things like this. And it doesn't really change, and it's always the same things. We know that if we want transformation, it's got to come from the Holy Spirit deep inside of us, right? So I don't want us to just focus on becoming physically well or better this time of year. I want to talk about us becoming well in every area. And so one of the areas that I want us to talk about is what I call a spiritual wellness exam. I don't know if you realize this or not, but to get out of shape, it only takes 11 days of not eating right or exercising. And you can, even if you are the most buff person, you will be out of shape. And guess what? I'm guessing the same thing would happen with your spiritual life. Maybe less time, right? I want to talk to you about a scripture in Psalm 1:1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." So if you're looking at this right here, right, there's exercises, right? So we've got walking, standing, sitting. So I'm almost thinking like the standing and the sitting could even be like squats, right? But listen to what the Lord tells us that we shouldn't be doing. We shouldn't be walking in the counsel of the ungodly. So congratulations for being on a godly call, getting counsel as you're finishing up the end of the year. And all counsel, the counselor, is what? It's our God, our amazing God, right? We've got Jesus as the counselor. We've got Holy Spirit as the comforter. I mean, how amazing is that? And so when you're getting counsel, don't do it with the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. If you've got people all around you that are sinning, one of the things that my mentor, John Maxwell, has taught us from the very beginning is you are a sum total of the five people you hang around with most. If you're hanging around with a lot of sinners, guess what's happening to your spiritual man? He's probably dying inside. He's not getting fed. You're not being around those people and God and spending the time with God and the Holy Spirit that you need to keep spiritually healthy. And then it says, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, that doesn't even sound like fun. But how many times do we sit around and we hear the negativity all around us and we continue to sit there? So let me ask you this. I'm going to give you a test. We've got 10 questions here, and this is going to be your spiritual wellness exam. And then after that, we're going to be talking about these focus words, okay? So first off, let me ask you this. Where are your feet carrying you? Are they carrying the gospel wherever they go? It says in the word, beautiful feet carry the gospel. But where are your feet taking you? Are you going into places you have no business going? Do you have a shopping addiction and you don't stay out of the mall? Are you hanging out at parties, bars, maybe just around negative people? I don't know. Where are your feet carrying you? Are they carrying you to minister? Are they carrying you to church? Or are they carrying you to places that do you harm and don't lift you up spiritually? The second is, what's your constant conversation? What is your constant conversation? What are you always talking about? What's coming out of your heart? Because we know what comes out of our mouth comes out of our heart. And a lot of times what comes out of our heart comes out of our mind. And we know the greatest battlefield's in our mind, right? So what are you always talking about? Are you talking about how there isn't business? Are you talking about how you struggle with relationships? Are you nagging your husband? Are you berating your wife or your children? What's happening? What's coming out of your mouth? What is your constant conversation? Or are you in that place where you're lifting others up? Do you have the word on your mouth continually? Do you allow doubt to get in your way? Third question is, do I have a hunger for the things of God? Are you hungry? I mean really hungry for the things of God, to the point where you can't wait to get up and get in the word even before you want to get breakfast in your mouth. Are you hungry for the Word of God? Do you only think of God when you're ready to walk into church or maybe to dial into this Bible study? Or are you always thinking about the Word of God? Are you in constant prayer? Number four, let's look at this. Are you sloppy in your commitments to the Lord? Now let me ask you this. If you've got a really important date, are you showing up late? God set a date with you. He wants to be with you. And are you showing up late for church? Do you show up on time? Can God count on you? Do you make excuses and not show up when you've been asked to serve? Do you have to be approached by other people to be able to feel like you could serve the Lord? Or do you go in and you volunteer to say, hey, pastor, hey, sister, what can I do to help out? Or are you the person that walks into the restroom and you just see it's a mess and you just start cleaning it? What are you doing to serve the Lord? Do you have to be approached? Are you showing up on time? Are you serving with excellence? Can God count on you? Number five. Do I anticipate all that God has in store for me? Do you remember how you felt the night before Christmas, how you anticipated gifts, how you expected that there would be something that someone was going to give you? Maybe for your birthday, you were thinking, oh, you know, I'd love to be able to have this. Do you do that with the Lord, with all the good things, or have you already started thinking, you know what, this year's going to be just like last year. Look, I don't have anything on my calendar again this year. My bookings are low. I don't know if anybody's going to join my team. My team's probably not going to work again. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be profitable or not this year. I don't know if I have the courage to really run this as a business. I like doing this business, but I just don't want to really talk to anybody because they might tell me no. Or are you anxiously expecting God's goodness, his abundance for you? He tells us in Ephesians 3:20 that he wants to do super abundantly more than we could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine. Mm-hmm. I mean, that doesn't sound like a God of lack to me. That sounds like he wants to do amazing things, and I'm going to anticipate it. I'm going to expect it. I'm expecting God's marvelous blessings this year. So do you have an expectant heart? Number six in our spiritual wellness exam is, do you have a secret life? Have you asked yourself, do I have a secret life? What are you watching? Where are you going? How do you conduct yourself? Is it with excellence? Could people pick out, if you were walking in the mall and there's a big crowd, they could pick out, yep, she's a Christian. He's a man of God. Or do you blend in with everybody else? Or are you worse? You know, Christians get a bad name in business because they're always wanting to get everything for free. They don't value other people and their time. They don't come to the plate giving better than expected service. They do just enough and try to get by, and then they throw the Jesus card. That's not how God expects us to behave. We're to set the bar. We're to set the example.
Well, I don't do that, so.
Number 7, do I have difficulty standing up for God's truth? Do I have difficulty standing up for God's truth? You know, it tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Are you the same person in all company? Or are you going to get blown to and fro as the wind blows? James 1, 5 through 8 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he'll give it to you. He won't rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave in the sea that's blown and tossed by the wind. And it goes on. Now listen to this. This is verse 7. It says, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they're unstable in everything they do. So maybe if you're wondering, why are my prayers not getting answered? Why am I not living into that abundance? Maybe it goes back to James 1, 5 through 8. Because you have divided loyalty between God and the world. James 4, 8 says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you to cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Psalm 119, 113 through 115 says, I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. You're my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God. God's pretty clear about where your loyalty, your 100% faith is. And it doesn't belong in you. Sure, faith without works is dead. God doesn't expect us to just have faith and sit on a sofa. He expects us to do something about it, but he wants us to have unwavering faith that he's going to provide it in his way. He's going to do amazing things. Number 8 in our test is my church just a place to go to or a place to serve and worship the Lord? The big emphasis, I think, on serving and worshiping. What do you do when you go to church? Are you faithful? Are you consistent? Are you there when the doors are open? Or do you just kind of happen to wander in periodically with a whenever the agenda might suit you? How connected are you to a home church? Number 9, have I grown spiritually? I want you to look back at 1 year from today. Are you spiritually deeper this year than you were this time last year? I hope you can say yes. Number 10, what kind of spirit do I have? Is there bitterness, anger, maybe a divided heart? Are you holding on to a grudge? Are you negative? Matthew 5 tells us that one day, as Jesus saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up to the mountainside and he sat down. His disciples gathered around, and as they gathered around, hang on, we had a little bit of extra noise there. Okay, and as they gathered around, I lost my place. Jesus went onto the mountainside and sat down, and his disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them the Beatitudes. And he said, blessed is the one, so let's kind of go through these. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they'll inherit the earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they'll be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they'll see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of God is theirs. So he says not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of scornful. And then he tells us that we're to be humble. We're supposed to be comforting to other people. We're supposed to hunger and thirst for justice and righteousness. We're to be merciful. We need to keep our hearts pure. We need to work for peace. And we need to do right no matter what. So let me ask you this. I want you to look at your life, not your lips, what your lips have said, but I want you to look at your life. Examine your life, not just your lips. You know, we mentioned that it only takes about 11 days of not eating right or exercising to get out of shape. Some of the same things happen when we are spiritually lax. Has it been more than 2 weeks since you've been to church? What does your life look like for the past 2 weeks spiritually? You know, influence can get us to do some silly things. Can you remember as a kid, we were always taught not to get inside of a refrigerator or a dryer, right? Because what could happen is if you got inside of a dryer and it would go on, do you remember those great big ones at like the laundromat? I can remember that there were those in our neighborhood, some of them even outside, and people would say, don't get inside of there because it'll kill you, right? Well, wouldn't you know that there's always little boys that try to get inside, and I can remember hearing of a young boy who got inside of a dryer, and they closed the door, and guess what? It started, and it went round and round and round, and they were screaming, and it was beating them to death. They knew if they stayed inside, they were going to get beat to death, and they were going to die. So what would you do if you were that child? You'd cry out, right? So we can do the same thing. We can cry out to Jesus and get out of that hot, heated place that's just beating us to death. And not do those silly things that other people influence us to do. If you wanted to get right physically, what would you do? You'd go to the doctor, you'd have a physical exam, right? So examine yourself. If you want to be spiritually well, what do you need to do? You need to examine yourself. God wants to know, where are you walking? Where are you standing? And where are you sitting? Do you kneel in the presence of the Lord? He didn't say not to kneel anywhere, did he? No. We need to be on our knees. So I want to encourage you not just to make a resolution, but to come before the Lord with total surrender. And I want you to come to him with a humble heart, asking him, what would he have you focus on for the year? You know, what's your word this year? I'm going to share mine with you here in just a minute. But I want to encourage you, because all we need to do is we need to get on our knees. Any area that just didn't seem to measure up, or maybe you were standing in the wrong place, walking in the wrong place, sitting in the wrong place, now you know. You've done that examination, but don't get caught up in the guilt and the condemnation for it, right? Because it's so easy for us to do that. We can think, oh, it's impossible, or it's not worth it, or I can't manage, or I'm afraid, or I'm worried and I'm frustrated, or, you know, I just can't forgive myself, or this is too much for me to figure out, or I don't have enough faith to actually fulfill God's plan for my life, or maybe you're just really brokenhearted and you feel crushed. What we do is we say those words over and over again. And instead, we need to go to what God's word says. For those of you that aren't aware, and I know we've got a lot of new people on the call today, so welcome. But I do have free resources available to you. If you go to BeckySpieth.com, BeckySpieth.com, you're going to go to free and then digital downloads. You have to scroll down, and then you will see Who I Am and What I Think, Scripture with Healing. And on here, I've put together some scriptures for healing, but also for combating with the Word of God, because wherever our focus goes, that's where our energy flows. So if you think it's impossible, guess what? You're going to have more impossibility. But if you believe the Word of God, which is truth, and that's where you change your focus to, you will know that all things are possible, because that's what God says, and he's not a liar. It's Luke 18:27. And if you think I'm not worth it or it's not worth it, Romans 8:28 tells us it will be worth it. If you think I can't manage, God's word says I'll supply all your needs, Philippians 4:19. If you're afraid, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If you feel worried and frustrated, 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares on me. If you say, I can't forgive myself, 1 John 1:9 and Romans 8:1 says, I forgive you. God forgives you. And if he forgives you, you can forgive you. And if you think, I can't figure it out, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, don't lean on your own understanding. Let me direct your steps. If you think I don't have enough faith, Romans 12, 3 says, I've given everyone a measure of faith. So you have enough faith. God's given you your measure, what you need. And if you're just brokenhearted or feel crushed, Psalm 34, 18 and Psalm 9, 9 remind us that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and he saves the crushed in spirit. I want you to have a word. I want you to have a word from God, something that's going to encourage you so that you know that, you know what, today is going to be a new day. Your history does not have to does not have to define your future, that you can turn over a new leaf today and you can start something fresh. So let me tell you, my one word that the Lord has given me is strategy. I can't believe this is my word for the year. I mean, I've had some amazing words the last few years, like intentional, abundant, all kinds of like really amazing words. This one is strategy. So I feel like the Lord's taking me from moving me from a place of preparation into execution, and I'm super excited about that. When I looked up, what I usually do with my words, so that you know, is that I usually look it up in the dictionary, and I look it up in several dictionaries, and then I look up what is this word, how is this presented in the scripture, and I just start journaling and asking the Lord to speak to me about this word. And I keep it at the forefront of my mind. It's in the front of my journal for the year. And so for you might pick a different word, so don't feel like you have to pick strategy. I'm just sharing mine and my process with you just so that you can kind of understand. And then I do want to know what your word is. So a strategy is a plan of action or a policy designed to achieve a major or overall aim. The art of planning and directing overall military operations and movements in a war or a battle. And right now in my family, we are in a spiritual warfare battle. So this makes complete sense to me. It's also a plan for military operations and movements during a war or battle. Some synonyms would be master plan, game plan, grand design, plan of action, policy, program. It's a careful plan or method for achieving a particular goal, usually over a long period of time. It's the skill of making or carrying out plans to achieve a goal. It's a method or a plan chosen to bring out a desired future. I loved that, desired future, such as the achievement of a goal or a solution or a problem. It's the art and science of planning and marshaling resources for their most efficient and effective use. Loved that part, too. It says the term is derived from a Greek word for generalship or leading an army. Proverbs 24:6 says strategic planning is the key to warfare. To win, you need a lot of good counsel. You know, your church, you know, or yourself or your business might need to rethink its strategy. There's no real sense of how to accomplish the work that God has called for you to do. So what we need to do is we need to go to the Holy Spirit and ask him. And it's scriptural to have strategic planning. It's evident in Moses' life, Joshua, Nehemiah, David, Jesus. I mean, he had established, you know, he put together his leaders and established strategic plans, and then he carried them through and he did follow-up. So, I mean, it's all over the Word. I love what Proverbs 19:21 says. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. God's purpose is the element in strategic planning for the church that's vastly different from the secular strategic planning models. And we see that setting our hearts and minds on God as the beginning of the strategic planning process. So that's how I start. And I thought, it's so funny that he's still giving me the word strategy, and that's exactly what I do. But I love this, and I'm anxious to see how he's going to reveal this in my life this year. And without question, it's God's plan that we want, not our own. God obviously expects us to plan. He's given to us a number of clear principles along with some great examples, and he makes it clear that we're not to trust our own plans and strategies and ignore the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But if we come in complete alignment with the Holy Spirit for our strategic plans for the year, and we seek God's heart and his direction, we can establish plans that are pleasing to him and plans that will succeed. You know, strategic planning is not only a biblical concept, it's a biblical mandate. It's God's chosen method of working to establish how you and your business, your life, everything that you do is intended to carry out the Great Commission. So I want to encourage you. Don't just repeat last year. Be intentional in getting God's heart and knowing how you'll accomplish his mission in your setting. I love Proverbs 16:3. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. So hang on to that. When you do your New Year's plan and you're putting together maybe your business plan and things like that, hang on to Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. And Proverbs 16:9 says, in his heart a man plans his course, but God, our Lord, determines his steps. So I know that we're right at the top of the hour, but I wanted to just quickly have you come in and just share just really briefly what your one word is for the year. So let me see. Lenora, do you have a word for the year?
I do. My word is gratitude.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yale, what is yours? You might be muted. Anybody just want to pop in and tell me your first name and tell me what your word for the year is?
Becky, this is Bonnie. Mine's
Hi, Bonnie.
Focus.
Focus, I love it.
Yes.
I had been wrestling with a few words. My words that I was wrestling with this year and taking before the Lord were expansion, focus, just like Bonnie, refresh, listen, proactive, receive, action, execution, and strategy. So those were the words in my prayer time that the Lord gave me, but we focused in on strategy. Anybody else?
Hey, Becky.
Yes.
Hey, Becky, this is Desi. It's tenacious.
I love that word.
I will be holding on tight to everything I'm planning this year.
Awesome. Anybody else have a word for the year?
Yes, Becky. This is Yael. And I have, yes? I'm like you, I have a couple of words. Favor, consistency, gratitude, and relaunch.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So what I want you to do, I want you to ask the Lord to prioritize those for you, because he'll give you that order that you're supposed to use these for focus, because he's a God of order.
Becky?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes, my word is victory.
Nice. These are
all
awesome
right.
words. Can you hear how amazing this year is going to be for all of us?
Yes.
Great. Anybody else have a word that you want to come in and share?
This is Stacy. My word is determination.
Love it. Oh, my goodness. What powerful women you are.
Hi, Becky, it's Marilyn. Mine is preparation, and I'm not even sure what that means, but I know I have to get a lot of things in order, so, and I know what the way the world's going. God wants us to prepare, and the word was prepare either way of the Lord.
I love it. I love it. Wow. Well, I'm excited to see how God's going to work in your life for this year. I'm going to keep this in the front of my binder that I keep for our Bible studies, and I'm going to be checking in with you periodically throughout the year, and we'll see how the Lord's using this word as your focus word. I'm going to pray for us real quick, and then I know many of you have little ones at home, or you've got things that you need to get in order, and I know a lot of you are wanting to take a deeper dive into the spiritual wellness exam we talked about today. Just so you know, the replay will be listed later this afternoon up onto Facebook under The Christian Direct Seller. It's always on my personal timeline, and then it gets posted over to my website under the free tab, BeckySpeeth.com, and then you click under free and you'll see that there's the replays. Also wanted to let you know about that, the word that I was sharing with you as far as, you know, what we think and what God's Word says, that's a free resource as well on that website. Father God, we love you and thank you. We thank you that you don't just leave us alone. But you care so much about us that you know every hair on our head, that you give us a word to focus on for the year, that every one of these words are about growth, about fulfilling your purpose. Lord, help us to be faithful. Thank you for giving us a measure of faith. We stand with unwavering faith right now, 100%, not double-minded, but pursuing you in all of our ways. And Father God, our heart breaks for these people in the Midwest and in the DFW area that the tornadoes have killed and taken their homes, destroyed their lives. Father God, but we know what the enemy plans for destruction, because we know, it tells us in the Word, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We know that's not you, Lord. We know that you promise to take everything that was intended for evil and turn it around to good for those that love you and have been called according to your purpose. I pray that you will raise up mighty warriors, not only to pray, but to be your hands and feet to bring Jesus in this devastated area. Lord, we do not receive the devastation. We receive new life, abundant life, things better than ever in Jesus' name. Bring comfort to them. Bring peace. Those without water or electricity, Lord, we pray you keep them healthy and warm. And, Lord, that you would meet every need that they have. And, Lord, I just pray that you will be with Gloriella as she works on talking to her leader and that you can give her clear direction for this next year, as you will for all of us. Lord, I pray a blessing upon each and every business, Lord, that's represented, that it would be abundantly blessed financially with resources, with people, with clients. Lord, that business would be chasing each person down that's listening to this call, and that they would know that they were blessed because they dealt with one of your children. Help us to be faithful. Help us to do business with excellence, and help us to stay spiritually and physically fit. Lord, we pray healing over every broken relationship, over every business, and over every body that's not walking in 100% health this morning. Father God, we love you and thank you. We pray that your word stays on our lips as we go out and as we talk with others. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for finishing the year up with me. I appreciate it so much. It was such a joy to connect with so many new people as well as others that are reconnecting with. I love it. And just wanted to wish you a happy new year and know that I'll be back again next Monday morning to spend some time with you. So take care. God bless you, everybody. Make it an incredible week. And just so that you know, if you do want some help with your business plan, things like that, I do have a course starting next week called Vision Casting Success Mapping that will be doing that. And then we also have intentional living. So I'm being really focused on what we're doing this next week, and I hope that you consider joining me for any of those if that would help support you in your business. Otherwise, please come back to this amazing call. We do it every Monday. We start taking prayer requests at 8:25 and usually start our study time about 8:30. So take care. God bless you. I love you guys, and I'll be with you next week. Bye, everybody.